Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Today's reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Well, we're doing our second sermon from the book of 1 Peter, and we're talking about how we should be what God expects of us as an employee. Sit tight, because there's a whole bunch of things in Peter about our behavior. We're going to be talking about in a week what God expects of a wife. And guys, if you're smiling, the week after we're going to talk about what God expects of a husband. And so if we follow these things through, I think we'll find our lives are enriched as we live the way God wants us to live. What does God expect of me as an employee? Well, in the days of the apostles, there was no such thing as unions, standardized wages, and 40-hour work weeks. And he writes these instructions to a people who live in a very complex society. And when you see these instructions, you'll be amazed. But it's all about the grace of God and the commands of God. And so he tells them how they ought to be living. Now, to be sure, all employment is the same. I did a little research some years ago, and I went back on the internet to follow it up this week and found out it's still on there, about a company from 1998. I want to talk a little bit about its employees. It had over 500 employees with the following statistics. 29 had been accused of spousal abuse. 7 had been arrested for fraud. 19 had been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 at that time were in lawsuits, defendant lawsuits. And in 1998 alone, this company had 84 people stopped for drunk driving. You say, what company is that? I'm not sure I want to work there. Well, it was the United States Congress. I'm not sure I want to work there either. Well, what a mess when you think about that. And if our leaders are in that kind of mess, our nation may follow through. We need to be careful. Now, when this is being written by Peter, he's writing to people that had been scattered throughout the Roman Empire as a result of persecution that had arisen in the church. In fact, this was the time of Nero, when he blamed Christians for the burning of Rome, and many Christians were being executed by being nailed to a stake and set on fire. And so he writes these things in a very complex time, and yet you'd be amazed at what he writes. And so he is telling Christians how to live in difficult circumstances and please God. Now, God expects me to live a godly life with confidence in Him at the workplace, even when it's difficult, even when my job situation is not the best. Now, this can be done if we consider four important factors that Peter gives us as we look through the text today. Factors that make us mindful of God and how to glorify Him. The first one is our mandate. Factor one, what is our mandate as Christians in a fallen world? In 1 Peter 2:13, he says, "Be subject to the Lord's, for the Lord's sake," notice this, "to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme." Now, you can imagine the feelings that people had for the emperor, with thousands of Christians that have lost their lives as a result of the emperor, and yet he says that we should be subject. And then in 1 Peter 2:14, "or governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." God expects me and you as believers in Christ to submit to authority, and my employer is one of those authorities. Why does he say submit? 1 Peter 2:15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." If there's anything that a Christian should do, is live out their life in such a way that people who would criticize the body of Christ would find nothing to criticize about. We ought to be living in this way to glorify God. Listen to what Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:16. "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as the servants of God." So we are to live in everything we do, and it's to be obvious by our life that we are servants of the living God. Someone said, "I have on my table a violin string. It is free to move in any direction I like. If I twist one end, it responds. It is free, but it is not free to sing. So I take it and I put it on my violin. I bind it, and when it is bound, it is free for the first time to sing." And then someone added, "In the same way, we are free when our lives are uncommitted, but not free to be what God intended for us to be. Real freedom is not freedom from, but freedom for." We are set free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." And so the life of a Christian is different than the life of a non-Christian. We do not return insult for insult. We don't do crazy things in the way we treat people. If somebody mistreats us, we don't look for a way to get revenge. We are surrendered to the will of God, and we leave it in the hands of God. Our mandate is God's will, and God's will is that we respect authority and give no one a chance to slander the gospel due to our behavior. I remember working at a plant one year, and one of the guys in the plant professed to be a Christian. And he was vocal about his Christianity, and he would invite people to church. But he had a problem. Every time something didn't go his way in the plant, he would kick his toolbox, and he would act real out of sorts. How many people do you think that he invited to church went with him? You got it. Nobody wanted to respond to that. He says, Jesus is my Savior, but he lives out of the control of the Lord. Our mandate is that we honor God and we're mindful of God and glorifying him. But our second factor is our motive. Why do we do it? 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Why? For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. We are aware in our life that we will suffer unjustly from time to time. And someone will say something, they'll hurt us, they'll do something, they'll be unfair. And from time to time that happens. But we are able to be gracious even in those times. Why? Because we are mindful of God. We are aware that God is aware. And in that, we work for his pleasure. Paul gives the same advice in the book of Ephesians. Listen to what he says. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Then he goes on to say, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so I am responding the way God wants me to respond because of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and my trust in God. And so he goes on to tell us, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. There is our motive and our drive to be a God pleaser. And sometimes it's difficult to be a God pleaser because we live in a fallen and a broken world. But God assures us that he will give us that which we need to live according to his will and to be holy even in an unholy world and to live in a way that honors him. Not everybody has those feelings and attitudes. There was a sign in a store window that read, "No help wanted." As two men passed by, one said to the other, "You should apply, you'd be great." Remember, if you're a Christian and you work for somebody, you should be set apart. Your work should be the best it can be. And your attitude should be reflective of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:20, for what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you did do good and suffer for it, you endure, notice what he says. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Suffering is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Yes, if you suffer for the right reasons. Yes, if you're able to display Christ in the midst of your suffering. Yes, if you demonstrate confidence in the living God and do not put your trust in this world. So we have a mandate and a motive. The third factor is our mentor. Who do we follow? What's our example? 1 Peter 2:21. Now notice this. For to this you have been called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. I hear people say, I want to be Christ-like. Well, if I want to be Christ-like, then my attitude and my actions and my reactions express my confidence in the living God. A lady by the name of Dorothy Canfield Fisher wrote a moving story about a physically powerful but dim-witted farmhand named Lem, and he lived in the Vermont Valley. And here's what happened. His mother, when he was born and realized that he had these mental handicaps, resented him from the day he was born. She often ridiculed him with harsh and demeaning words. Even so, the boy served her till she died. Lem was the target of village jokes. But then one night he came upon a huge dog killing some farmer's sheep. Using his bare hands as his only weapon, he strangled the dog to death. And when morning came, the villagers came to discover it wasn't a dog, but it was a giant timber wolf. Lem quickly earned the villagers' silent admiration. Later, an unwed village girl falsely accused Lem of being the father of her baby. Even though he was innocent, he married the girl so the baby would have a father. Unfortunately, the mother died within a year, and Lem raised the little girl. After she was grown and married, her own baby became desperately ill, and Lem sold all of his sheep to pay for the baby's medical care. Confronted with meanness, misunderstanding, and loneliness all his life, Lem had no recourse in professing the true nature of his own life other than to live it out in serving others, and that he did. Here's the bottom line for you and me as Christians living in a broken world. The loudest message you speak is your life. Your life demonstrates Christ or it does not demonstrate Christ. It either encourages people towards the gospel or it pushes people away from the gospel. Now, we're asked to live in a certain way. 1 Peter 2:13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And we are to look to him as our example. He goes on to say, in 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Here's the bottom line. God judges justly. God knows what we are going through. There will be a day when we will stand before him and we will recognize it was worth living for Jesus, and we will be richly blessed, and we can entrust ourselves to the Lord. So we're asked to trust God, and sometimes we're mistreated in life, and today we're looking at what God expects of me as an employee. But be aware of this. If you're an employer, God expects the same if you're a Christian employer. He expects that you treat people with respect and kindness and reverence. After Paul instructs employees or servants to be godly in relationship to the employers, he gives this warning to employers or masters. Ephesians 6:9, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. James 5:4, behold, the wages of the laborers who mold your fields, which you kept back from by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. God is aware. Nothing occurs in your life that God is not aware of. Nothing occurs in your life that God did not allow. And yet, in God's awareness and allowance, you can still put your trust in him and your faith in him, and you will see the hand of God working in your life, even in the midst of difficulty and hardship. So we look at our mandate, our motive, our mentor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to look at our means in our fourth factor. How do we glorify God? 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Why? That we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Something happens in the heart and mind of a believer. We are not subject to all the thoughts of the world, and we do not have to respond the way the world responds. We have a Savior, and we are confident in our Savior. We respond differently. A well-known pastor of years gone by was Donald Gary Barnhouse. He was a powerful preacher and had a sharp mind. And one night on New Year's Eve, back in the late 40s or 50s, at the church watch night service, Barnhouse was administering a communion service when there was a noisy disturbance outside that rocked throughout the inside of the church. Loud singing from drunk people. A group of loud, drunken voices were passing by the church, singing for all they were worth, "Glorious, glorious, one keg of beer for the four of us. Glory be to God, there ain't no more of us, for heaven knows I'd drink it all alone." And so he's about to serve communion, and this is echoing through the church as he's about to serve communion. What does he do? Ah, he picks up the communion cup, and he holds it up like this in the midst of that disturbance, and he says, "Glorious, glorious, Jesus drank the dregs for all of us. Glory be to God, there is no more for us, for on the cross he drank it all alone," and changed the whole atmosphere. See, here's what we need to know. Jesus paid the price. And Jesus is going to deliver you to heaven. And whatever happens to you on earth is going to dwindle. And you will be richly rewarded for honoring him, even in the midst of a broken generation. Even if you've had to suffer persecution of sorts, you will be able to stand before the Lord with great joy. And you will know that the Lord is just and will deal with you justly. 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Albert Barnes was a well-known theologian, and he wrote about this way. "We may learn from this chapter, indeed, as we may from every other part of the New Testament, that in doing this we may be called to suffer. We may be reproached and reviled as the great shepherd himself was, and we may become the objects of public scorn on account of our devoted attachment to him. We may suffer in name, in feeling, in property, in our businesses, by our honest attachment to the principles of the gospel." And then he goes on to say, "Many who are his followers may be in circumstances of poverty or oppression. They may be held in bondage. They may be deprived of their rights. They may feel their lot in life is a hard one, and that the world seems to have conspired against them to do them wrong. But let us in all these circumstances look to him who made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And let us remember that it is enough for the disciples to be like their master and the servant as his Lord." Then he goes on to say, "In view of the example of our master and of all the promises of support in the Bible, let us bear with patience all the trials of life, whether arising from poverty, a humble condition, or the reproaches of a wicked world. All our trials will," he says, "soon be ended, and soon, under the direction of the shepherd and bishop of our souls, we shall be brought to a world where trials and sorrows are unknown." Well, after preaching this morning, one of our members came up to me and he said, "Sal, can I tell you a story?" He said, "I worked for over 20 years at a company, and I had one shift, and the next shift came in, the foreman, and he would start saying to me, 'Why isn't this done? Why isn't this done?' And he would yell at me for things that were not my responsibility." He said, "I want these things done. Do them." And I would respond to him negatively. "I didn't do it. I didn't mess up there. I don't care what. You get it done." And he said this went on for some time. He said, "And then I became a Christian. And I started reading the Bible. And I began to realize that God did not want me to react this way. God wanted me not to return insult for insult or evil for evil, but instead give a blessing. He wanted me to guard my speech, and he wanted me to bear up and bear under." And so I began going into work with a changed heart. And when this guy came in, he said, "Hey, I want those hoses put away." Instead of me saying, "Well, I didn't leave them out," he said, "Yes, sir, I'll be glad to do that." After a couple of weeks of doing that, the man that used to yell at me all the time went to see his superior and said, "What is wrong with this guy? Something's happened to him. He's wacko. He's really nice all the time." But he said within 2 or 3 months, the whole atmosphere of the shop changed, and the atmosphere of the man changed, and they actually became friendly towards one another because he learned to bear under and became a witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to do in a broken world. The world is looking for those who truly believe Jesus is the Lord and will live accordingly. And as an employee, leave your mark as a man or as a woman of God. And God will use that, and you will be surprised how many people will respond, and you will have a testimony of the grace of God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to live out our lives in such a way as to glorify you. We live in a broken and a fallen world, but we have a Savior who is Jesus Christ the Lord. And we can live differently, and we live with the hope of the Lord, the promises of God, the day that we know when we all stand before you and give an account of our lives. And we long for that day to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And may we touch lives with the gospel, because our life is lived in a holy manner. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.